John 12:20-22. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. John 12:20-22. Now, there are a great many things about this episode that I, for one, I do not know. I do not understand. There are questions I can't answer. Who were these Greeks? I cannot be sure. Where did they come from? I don't know. Why did they go to Philip and then Andrew? Why this connection? Well, there's some local connection. Why are we told about Bethsaida in Galilee? And so on. And what contact, further contact, did these Greeks have with Jesus? These and many other questions, no doubt, are not answered here. But there is one thing that is made abundantly clear. And what a thing it is. What a glorious thing it is. The words these Greeks said to Philip have come resounding down the centuries, and they resound today. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Now, I think it's almost certain that these Greeks were proselytes. That is, they weren't natural Jews, but they had converted from paganism into Judaism. They had adopted Judaism, and they had come up to Jerusalem from wherever they lived to worship at the feast of Passover. And they were just in time to meet Christ, because within a very short while now, Christ will be crucified. But this window of opportunity is there, and they take it. "Sir," they said, "we want to see Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. We would see Jesus." I know of two churches in my experience down the years where this text has been used to tell the preacher this is what they want. There's a church here locally where I preach, and on the back wall this text is written, "Sir, we would see Jesus." The preacher can see it. There was another church many years ago when I was a young preacher that had the same, I think, on the back wall. It may be I've seen it in a pulpit on a card pinned there for the preacher to read. "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that's a lovely thought. It's more than a lovely thought. It should be the dominant thought for every preacher. And not just pulpit preachers. I want to address every believer listening to me. We're all preachers, brother and sister. We're all ministers. We're all priests of God in the new covenant. We're all witnesses for Christ. I say again, we are all preachers of Christ. But it's not only in our preaching, in our writing, and I write some books and articles, in all our service, in all our hearts, in all our worship, in all our family life, in all our experience, brother and sister. Jesus is the one we must see. We must look for Christ, worship Christ, proclaim Christ to others. Christ is all. Now, how much the Greeks knew what they were saying here, I can't be sure. But the full meaning of their words really does apply. Let this be the sum and substance of our ministry, brother and sister. Too many sermons I hear have so little of Christ. That was said many years ago by two Puritans discussing, I think. while they were discussing a sermon. Very fine, one said, but not enough of Christ in it to me. But Christ was not in my text, the preacher replied. Every village in England has a road that leads to London, came the reply. The preacher's job is to find that road to London. In other words, in every text, Christ is found. He is in all the scriptures, and Christ must be preached. I have heard a sermon in a Grace Baptist church, in a Pentecostal church, where Christ has not been preached. In the Pentecostal church, I heard that sermon on Moses, not Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. Brother and sister, keep looking to Jesus in all your trials, tribulations, troubles, sorrows. If you will be free of sin and grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, be a more sanctified, godly believer, look to Jesus. We would see Jesus. And of course, it's the word for the unbeliever. Your problem is you do not have or know or see or enjoy Christ. You do not trust him. You see, the Greeks didn't just want to see Jesus and take a snapshot. I remember I was in Paris once, and a coachload of Japanese pulled up, and out they tipped and poured, got their tripods out, snapped the Eiffel Tower, got back into the coach and went away. They had seen Paris. But the real way to see a foreign country, in my experience, is to live with a family, to be at home with them, to learn their ways, to feel their culture, to be part and parcel of it. We would see Jesus is to be with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to love Jesus above all, to trust Jesus, to know Christ. Unbeliever, that is what you need. Not religion, not creed, not church going, not trying to say your prayers and rites and ceremonies and so-called sacraments. You must say, I must have Jesus. Give me Jesus, or I will die. Indeed, you are dead. Christ is all. I've told you the story before, but I treasure it. Two men locally were talking about me, and they were saying one to the other, well, that's his text, you know. Christ is all. If it's true, and I hope it is, in all my writing, teaching, preaching, I hope living and worshipping, I can say that Christ is all in all to me. That is what I see in this episode. We would see Jesus, and so would I. I hope in all my polemical books, you can see Jesus. Take the pastor, does he exist? Yes, it's about church life and about church history. But the ultimate is this, that Christ is the great pastor. Christ is the great shepherd. Christ. My book on Baptist sacramentalism. My polemical books against Tom Wright and the New Perspective. I'm after conversion to Christ. That is the substance of it. That is the end of it. Christ is all. So, believer, brother, sister, make Christ all. In all your ministry, in all your life, in all your witness and testimony, in all your experience. Unbeliever, your great need is to know Christ. Without him you will perish, but knowing him is to know and have and enjoy all in all eternal life. Oh, come to Jesus. The Greeks sought him out. Will you seek him out? He is not far from you. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Let me close with a few words from John Berridge in a letter he wrote to a man called John Thornton. He wrote this letter 17th of November, 1784. And in his letter he said this, what is a Christian letter without Christ, but a disciple without his master? Where Jesus dwells, he will at length become Lord Paramount. All our love and trust and hope, uppermost in our preaching and hearing, praying and singing, writing and talking. Grace is best discovered by the value it gives us for Jesus. And where he is duly valued, he will engage our adoration, love, and trust. And these will command a cheerful obedience. As grace grows, Christ will increase, and we must decrease. He will rise higher in the love, trust, and value of the heart, and self will sink lower, till Christ becomes all, and we become nothing. What a blessed exchange is here of self for Christ, that is, of folly for wisdom, of weakness for strength, of beggary for riches, and death for life. When grace enters a bosom, Jesus becomes the darling of the heart, the joy and trust of it. And all obedience without this only nourishes self-righteousness and self-applause, and will end in shame and woeful disappointment. When Christ becomes a sinner's chief joy, self is felt the chief of sinners. This is regeneration, the new heart that makes a child of God, and without this all convictions of sin and present reformation will come to nothing. This is the true circumcision mentioned by Moses when he says, "The Lord will circumcise your heart to love him with all your heart and soul, that you may live." And this regeneration, like circumcision, is an instantaneous operation. So wrote John Berridge. And so say I now. The great secret, if there is one, of the Christian life is Christ is all. That is the great end and purpose of it all. I hope my ministry, I hope, brother and sister, your ministry is to promote the glory of Christ and proclaim Christ to all. Unbeliever, I say it again as I close. Your need is to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all in all. May he be your all in all now.